Morning to turn to the book of John, chapter 14, book of John, chapter 14. Before we read our text in Matthew chapter 17, Peter, James, and John went with Christ up into a mountain. And while they were there, Jesus was transfigured before them. That is, he appeared in his glory before them. And we are told that God the Father spoke from heaven, saying there in Matthew 17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." With that in mind, we'd like to read John 14, verse 6, and these are the words of Jesus. "Jesus saith unto him," that is Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The scene is this. It was the night that Jesus Christ would be betrayed and arrested. And Jesus is with his apostles. They are in an upper room of a house that had been prepared for the observance of the Passover. What transpired in that house that evening is recorded in John 13 through John chapter 16. So there he is with his apostles. These apostles, about 3.5 years prior to this, at his call, had left all to follow him. During that time when they were following Jesus Christ, they had personally witnessed him performing countless miracles in absolutely helpless and hopeless and impossible situations. And during that time, they heard the greatest teachings ever spoken. And they had just now witnessed the people lining the streets, palm branches in their hands and shouting, "Hosanna to the King." And now in that upper room, Jesus tells them here, beginning with John chapter 13, that he was going to go away, speaking of his crucifixion. And that one of them would betray him, and that Peter would deny him 3 times. What Jesus said had really put quite a damper on the mood that was in that room. And now there they are, filled with fear, anxiety, confusion, and a sense of gloom. In John chapter 14, Jesus now proceeds to comfort them, to calm them, to ease their fears. He does so by reassuring them and encouraging them. "You keep on believing in me. You keep on trusting me. Because though I'm going away, I'm going away for you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you, that where I am, there ye may be also." He said in verse 4, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." The way ye know, he's speaking of himself. This prompted the reaction of Thomas in verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And then we see the words of Jesus in response to what Thomas said. Verse 6, Jesus said unto him. So he is speaking directly to Thomas. But no doubt in the hearing of all the apostles. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth and the life is in relationship to the way. He is the true way. He is the living way. He would soon be crucified by liars, but he's the truth. He would be crucified, but he's the life. So he said these things to encourage them. We want to speak this morning on the way to God. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is Jesus speaking. Hear ye him. We want to consider two main points. We want to consider the reference points of the statement, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then we want to just consider that statement itself. What does it mean? But consider the reference points of this statement. What Jesus says here is in reference to two persons, two individuals. Notice you have the word man, and you have the word father. So what he's saying is in relation to man and the father. In other words, man and God. Think about that. Man and God. Now, if you know anything about man, and if you know anything about God, that's somewhat of a frightful statement. Man and God. Me and God. You and God. Your spouse and God. Your children and grandchildren and God. Your relatives and God. Your friends and God. Your neighbors and God. All of your acquaintances and God. Now, the Bible is a book that makes declarations. It makes very definitive statements. That is, it declares things to be so. You and I can believe what it says. You and I can reject what it says. But whether you and I believe or whether you and I reject, it does not change. It stays the same. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13, Paul said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. So whatever you do with this message today, and you will do something with it, it'll remain true no matter what you do. No matter what any of us do. So we said the Bible makes very definitive statements. We have two individuals, man and God. The Bible makes some very definitive statements about man. Psalm 58 and verse 3, the Bible declares that man by nature, by birth, is estranged. What does that mean? That means that man is alienated and at odds with God. When did that happen? It says, estranged from the womb. Estranged from the womb. And then it goes on to say, speaking of their practice, they go astray. That is, as they live, they go further and further off course. As soon as they be born, speaking lies. Psalm 53 and verse 3, concerning the children of men, it is declared every one of them is gone back. They are all together. That is, if you put them all together in a group, they're filthy. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it is declared, we have all gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do all fade away, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That is, we're under the control of our iniquities. It is declared also concerning the heart of man in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful. That means devious. The heart is deceitful. To what degree? Above all things. And desperately. That means critical. Hopelessly. Wicked. It is also definitively declared in Romans 3 and verse 9 that whether Jew or Gentile, we are all under sin. Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3 and verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3, verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Verse 14, it says their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Romans 3, verse 15 says their feet are swift to shed blood. Verse 16 says destruction and misery are in their ways. And verse 17 says, the way of peace they have not known. In verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 19 says, they're all guilty before God. Verse 23, what we preached on last Sunday morning, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is man. This is man. The Bible paints a very definitive picture of man. It is a picture of corruption. It is a picture of vileness. It is a picture of absolute filth and degradation and disgrace and shame. It is a picture of guilt. It is a picture of condemnation. It is a picture of one who has a deadly disease, sin. And with this deadly disease, they're lost. Going further and further astray. This is man. Again, the book, the Word of God, makes declarations and definitive statements. God says of Himself, remember, we have man, we have God. Leviticus 11, verse 44, I am holy. God and man. Man and God. God says, I am holy. He is perfectly righteous. He is perfectly pure. Holy, righteous, and pure God. And as such, He hates and loathes all sin. In fact, it is definitively declared in Psalm 7 and verse 11. God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. God is perfect. Without any flaw. Without any defect. And He cannot and He does not accept imperfection. He demands absolute perfection. This is God. So here is man. He is sinful through and through. And here is God. He is perfectly holy. And what Jesus says in John 14 and verse 6 is said in reference to man and God. What Jesus says in John 14, 6 concerns every one of us here today. There isn't anyone here that this does not concern. What Jesus says here also is in reference to man coming to God. We have man, we have God. Oh, the difference between the two. Oh, the distance between the two. The difference and the distance between man and God is beyond human calculation. It is beyond the imagination. And what Jesus says in this verse is in reference to an object to be obtained, a pressing and desperate need for all mankind. I am the way, He says. No man cometh. No man cometh. He's talking about the object to be attained here is to come. For man to come unto God. How does that happen? How can sinful man come to a holy God? Well, that brings us to the statement itself. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Listen to the tone of those words. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. In relation to man and God, in relation to man coming to God, Jesus calls our attention to Himself. He does so with those two words, I am. I am. There is man, there is God. The distance and the difference between the two is beyond calculation. And in reference to this, Jesus calls attention to himself. And he makes a very bold, a very vivid, a very emphatic, a very definitive statement about himself. He says, I am the way. In saying, I am the way, he is telling them something of his identity. He is telling them something of his character, something of his function and work. I am the way. So much so that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl cometh unto God but by me, Jesus says. Well, that's quite a statement. That's a very definitive statement. That is a very exclusive statement. May I say, that statement is not politically correct in our pluralistic society. In fact, it is a statement that stands in direct opposition to the general consensus and mindset that all paths lead to God and heaven. Jesus Christ, the eternal, the immortal, the immutable one, the infinite one, the omniscient one, the sufficient one, declares, I am the way. I am so much the way that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Those are very certain words. Consider the extent of these words. I am the way. That covers past, present, and future. These words are good for, they apply to all time. There has never been a time since the fall of Adam that Jesus Christ has not been the way to God. They cover all time. Covers today. Well, you say, we live in the 21st century. Yes, we do. And Jesus still says, I'm the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It applies to every individual here. It applies to all cultures, to all societies, to all places. Consider the meaning of this statement. We have man. We have God. Man needs to come to God. Jesus draws our attention to himself. I am the way. The very statement, I am the way, implies a distance between man and God. It implies that there is a gap. There is a separation. There is a detachment between man and God. Again, here is man. He is born with a deadly disease of sin. He is both by birth and practice defiled and unacceptable, and guilty, and condemned before a perfectly holy, righteous, pure, and sin-hating God. Has this distance, he is said to be estranged from the womb, as we already saw in Psalm 58:3. Paul describes it in Colossians 1 as being alienated. He also describes it in Ephesians 2 as being without Christ and without God. The distance is so great that there's an absence. Without Christ, without God. Man and God. The distance, the estrangement, is beyond imagination. But hear Jesus say, I am the way. I am the way. What is a way? Well, a way connects distance. It connects distance. A way spans the entire distance. There is a distance between man and God. And Jesus says, I am the way that connects that distance. I am the way that spans the distance. Across the immeasurable, unthinkable, inconceivable, and mind-boggling distance, there is a voice. And it is the voice of Jesus. And listen to what he says. I am the way. Praise God. There is a way that exists between man and God. Almost every time you preach on this subject that Jesus Christ is the way, the one and only way, someone gets mad. There's got to be more than one way. Don't get mad, my friend. Rejoice that there is a way. Rejoice that there's a way. Go from here today praising God. There is a way between God and man. Oh, how foolish to get angry because there's only one way. To be happy that there is a way. Between man, between God. The very statement, I am the way, speaks of a possibility. Without a way, there is no access. Without a way, there is no way that man can get to God. There has to be a way. So a way makes the otherwise inaccessible accessible. So we have a holy, righteous, and pure God. And if there be no way, then the unrighteous sinner can never approach God. But Jesus says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Think of the distance that we are talking about. You have sinful man. You have holy God. Between the two is an unthinkable distance. Oh, the distance between the death of sin and the life of God. The difference between the guilt of sin and pardon with God. The distance between the alienation of sin and nearness to God. The difference between the condemnation of sin and being justified with God. The distance between the darkness of sin and the light of God. Oh, the distance between the bankruptcy of sin and the riches of God. The distance is unthinkable. It's inconceivable. But listen, there is a voice, and it is the voice of one greater than the distance. It is the voice of one greater than the death and the guilt and the darkness and the filth and the vileness and the sickness and the darkness and the ignorance and the blindness and the emptiness and the depths and the destruction and the ruin and the hopelessness and the enslavement and the control of sin. It is the voice of Jesus. And what does He say? I am the way. I am the way. There is a way that spans the distance between God and man, and Jesus is that way. I am the way. Again, these are wonderful words. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to God is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I hope that doesn't make you angry. But again, you ought to rejoice that there is a way. You say, well, I think that I can get to Jesus Christ or to God this way or this way. Well, you can think that all you want. You can get on I-75 North and believe with all your heart that it's going to take you to Lexington, Kentucky. But it's not going to. It's not going to. Well, I believe that's the way. You may. But you won't get to Lexington, Kentucky taking I-75 North. It's not going to happen. Well, I'm sincere about that. I don't care how sincere you are. You're not going to get there. It's not a matter of sincerity. It's a matter of truth. It's a matter of there being a way. And Jesus says, I am the way. You say, well, I believe that the way is in a certain denomination. Listen, Jesus says, I am the way. Whether you be a Lutheran, whether you be a Catholic, whether you be a Baptist, a Methodist, or whatever, I am the way. A denomination will not take you to heaven. People will not take you to heaven. Rites and ceremonies will not take you to heaven. A doctrinal creed will not take you to heaven. Listen to what Jesus says. I am the way. So much so, no man, that's me and you, you and I, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the way. He did not say, you take whatever way you want, as long as you're sincere. He didn't say that. He said, I'm the way. Acts 4 verse 12, we see He's the only one. There is no other. We see the same thing in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man. And who is that mediator? The man, Christ Jesus. Oh, how we need to hear Jesus say, I'm the way. That's true right now. That's true at all times. That's true at all places. That's true for all people. That's true for all cultures. It is true of me. It is true of yourself. It is true of your spouse. It is true of your children. It is true of your grandchildren. It is true of your neighbors. It is true of your friends. It is true of all your acquaintances. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, hear God the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I am the way. What are you going to do with those words? Read John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What are you going to do with those words? What are you doing with those words? I know today that there, if you've ever noticed, no one goes to hell anymore. That's what people think. But there is one way to God. And my friend, all other ways lead to the torments of eternity. You say, well, I believe this is the way. All other ways lead to the torments of eternity. There is one way. There is one way to God. You say, well, that's awfully narrow-minded. It's pretty narrow. It's more narrow than you and I think. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ came to this sin-cursed earth for sinful man. And for sinful man, he lived a perfect life of righteousness. He would eventually take upon himself the sins of the people he came to save. And he would go to the cross. He would bear the wrath of God for those sins. The Bible teaches that he was buried. After 3 days and three nights, he arose from the grave victorious. 40 days later, he ascended back into heaven. And the Bible tells us that he now sits at the right hand of God. And may I say today, he sits there as the way to God. Doesn't matter what nationality a person may be. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It does not matter what society or culture they come from. Jesus Christ is the way to God. It does whatever their religious beliefs, Jesus Christ is the way to God. Can you trust him today? Many have. Can you trust him today? Who he is, what he's done. Can you place it all upon him, trusting him? Again, we say this often, but everyone here is trusting something. You say, that's not true because I don't even believe in God. You're trusting that. You're trusting there's no God. I've got news for you. You're going to confess Jesus is Lord. You say, well, I was baptized. That's what you're trusting in. I'm a pretty good person. I treat my neighbor right. That's good. I'm glad you treat your neighbor right, and I'm glad you're a good citizen, and I'm glad you obey the law, but that won't get you to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I was raised by Christian parents. I was raised in a Christian home. That's good. I'm glad you were. I'm glad you were. But that won't get you to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I can say to anybody, by the authority of John 14:6 and by the authority of this book, Jesus Christ is the way. There is no other. You and I that are saved, we're still sinners. God only accepts perfection. You and I cannot even worship God in and of ourselves. Worship is a coming to God. And there is a way that we do that through Jesus Christ. He presents our songs. He presents our praise. And when He presents it, it's acceptable. No matter how you look at it, He's the way. He's the way to God. So much so, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You've each heard the message, and everyone here has to do something with that message. Everyone here has to do something with the words of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What will you do with that message today? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in singing. Let's all